Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome in to CHGO Bulls Postgame, coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I am Peck, Bulls underscore Peck. Filling in for Joey on the controls tonight is our pal Kevin Wells. What up, Kev?
What's up, boys?
And sitting in for Big Dave, it's our friend, co-host of the Bulls Gold Podcast, part of the Bulls Pod family, our friend Salim Sudarwala. Salim underscore BG Hoops.
What's up, buddy? How was that?
That was an exciting, competitive game, baby.
So competitive.
That one's for our tourists.
Woo! Another, add one to the pile of clutch games played by the Bulls this season.
Oh, yeah. He's fist pumping. He's like, just, I told you, I was right. Vindicated.
Vindicated. Wow. Shout out everybody out there in Bulls Nation hanging out with us tonight. If you're hanging out in YouTube, in the chat, go ahead, hit that like button. Throw us your comments and questions on tonight's game. We'll get to as much as we can. Jason Ashland, who have been one of the ever optimists of our Bulls chat on YouTube recently, saying, I absolutely give up. Wow. Luke saying, oh boy, I can imagine the hat throws mayhem. Well, we'll see how many hat throws there are tonight. I will say, though, Salim, we were sitting here pregame saying, hey, this is an opportunity for a get-right game for the Bulls, who have, you know, dropped their last two, a get-right game for Kobe, who was struggling to find his shot after coming back from the hip injury, and then maybe we can see both of those things and a night where Billy actually gets his key guys, primarily Kobe, DeMar, two of the league leaders in minutes, and Caruso, who was waffling on whether or not he would play tonight, battling several nagging injuries, get them some rest in a fourth quarter of a game that the Bulls put away. Not nearly the case.
No, not at all. I mean, literally everything opposite.
They were down 15 to nothing.
We should have seen it coming. We were talking up the Bulls. Right then, when you talk up the Bulls, you know they're about to do something very, very, very stupid and bad. Like it's in their DNA the last like 5 years. So yeah, it's funny. Like I was sitting there, we were sitting there watching it. I don't think I saw you get as mad as I've seen you. Like, you were just laughing at many of the times. Like, you weren't even mad. Like I've seen Matt get, like, enraged out, like, watching some of these games, like, that get close. And, yeah, it was – you can't help but just laugh.
What can you do but laugh, yeah. Honestly? And, look, I'm not trying to make light of the Bulls fans out there in Bulls Nation that I know exist who are still living and dying by every win or loss down the stretch of this season, because they want this team to win their play-in tournament games, and they want this team to go to the playoffs, even if it means getting swept by the Celtics in the first round, because you believe in whatever playoff experience brings to some of the younger guys on this squad who you think are going to be around for a while after this season is mercifully over. But to those Bulls fans, I say you look at an example of tonight, and you look at an example of their loss to Boston on Saturday. And between these two games, say to yourself, how do you think this is a real team? Because they're capable of losing to these Wizards, one of the worst teams in the league, who were missing half their roster tonight. We laughed about their starting lineup in pregame. Laughed at it. But the Bulls said, hold my beer. We can lose to this team. And then also coupling that with their loss to the Celtics, where you say, hey, respect to the Bulls, they held their own, ended up losing by double digits, but they kept it close. But it was a Celtics team that was missing three of its five starters. You take that two-game sample size and say, how do you expect fans to take this team seriously?
And funny thing, too, like Jordan Poole wasn't even like, he was playing a very Jordan Poole game. Like he was just chucking shots.
8 of 20.
He was making them,
just
too.
Chucking. Just
he's making someone. Like, I don't know. I think he ended with, like,
He finished with 23.
Oh, okay.
He started the game 3 fouls in 5 minutes. Yes. He
must have finished worse finishing, because at one point he was like 8 of 15. And I was like, wow, he's actually having an efficient game, which I was shocked at, because he was just chucking the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just came out flat. The Bulls came out flat. It's just, you know, you talk about the Wizards are beat up, are missing a bunch of games, players. I think the Bulls are just getting gassed now. They're like the heavy minutes all season.
Yeah.
The short rotations is because of injuries, I think. It's an example. It's not an excuse for them to lose this game, but it just seems like that they had no gas. The entire game, they had, like, very little energy.
Chase and Ashland saying, we're good when we're fresh, but we're not fresh right now. It's caught up to us. I mean, I guess you can make that argument. We've also, including recently, seen the Bulls in their performance in their game last Thursday after having 2 days off, because they didn't play until since the previous Monday. When the Bulls have two days off, they come out flat.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's rest or if it's not rest. We've seen the Bulls play decently fine on the second night of back-to-backs compared to getting rest. I think it's just that this team is we've seen the peak of what this team is capable of. You know, like, knowing the pieces that they have now and the pieces that they won't have for the rest of the season, this is it. And it's a team that's capable of losing to the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been the past 2-3 seasons where you thought they were going to come in and take the win, but then after the game, they're like, oh, we weren't ready. The other team wanted it more. The same repeated mantra. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the guys' team says right now. I'll be interested to see what Billy says. Be interested to see what DeMar and them, you know, talk about after this loss. But, yeah, it's just a very Bulls loss.
Yeah. Brian saying fire this head coach. Jamie saying DeMar forcing too much. DeMar not his best night, 9 of 22 from the field, which is respectable. He also did go 8 of 11 from the free throw line. DeMar got to the free throw line a lot. Kobe also, to his credit, did get to the free throw line. I believe he tied a career high with 8 of 8 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Kobe White tonight, which kind of salvaged another night where he did not shoot particularly well. Salim, 6 of 20 for the from the field for Kobe tonight, including just 2 of 11 from downtown. I mean, if Kobe has a night where he hits even 4 of 11 attempts, we're talking about a W instead of an L. We talked about Kobe in pregame and the fact that he didn't shoot particularly well in these first two games back. That trend continued tonight. What did you make of Kobe's game?
I think he was more aggressive in trying to get going, but I noticed throughout the game he was still limping, and I think that hip is still bothering him. I mean, I don't know if he's playing because he feels, like, bad about sitting out because they're so shorthanded, but if that hip is still bothering him, man, get him out of the lineup. But I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I'd be curious to find out if that hip is still a problem, and we can ask Will if he's heard anything in that locker room. But,
yeah,
I think that's what I saw from Kobe. I thought he was aggressive in trying to get his looks and get a shot. He was playing, obviously, the flow of the offense. He wasn't, you know, trying to disrupt and chuck or anything like that. But, yeah, he just seems off still because of that hip.
Channel 4 News in the comments saying, we're back to ice cold Kobe. Channel 4 saying also Kobe hasn't shot well since the All-Star break. That's not entirely true. Kobe had a slump, like a longer-lasting slump midway through the season, and we started talking about has Kobe hit a wall of some kind because of all the minutes he was playing. And then he's also had some monster games out of the All-Star break, and then this hip injury. I think you're right. To me, it looks like Kobe does not have his full confidence in his full physical capabilities compared to what we had seen before he left with that hip injury. He did have that one very impressive, tough bucket driving to the hoop late in that game when the Bulls, I think, were down a possession and he got that bucket to equalize. He drove left and absorbed the contact and laid it in high off the glass. And it was like one of those buckets from Kobe in the paint we've become accustomed to seeing this season where you're like, wow, that was a tough bucket from Kobe and they needed it. But that was the one bucket from Kobe tonight that I saw that was like not shying away from physical contact Kobe. He looks like he's still favoring his body in some way.
No, 100%. It just seems like he is. He doesn't seem like he is himself, the guy that we've seen all season.
And, you know, Alex in the comments saying the minutes might be catching up to him. Billy is, I guess, as best as he can, still easing Kobe in. You know, he first game back, okay, bring him off the bench. Second game back, he starts, he keeps his minutes to a reasonable level, 36, I believe. Again, tonight, 36, which, I mean, that's a lot of minutes. 36 for a starter, that's a decent allotment of minutes. But with Kobe, especially in the middle and latter stretches of the season, you're expecting him to hit 40 most nights. That's why he's leading the league in minutes, or was until his three-game absence.
Right.
So when you see Kobe playing another 36 minutes tonight, you're like, okay, well, yeah, Kobe didn't have a great night shooting. He was still a little rusty. Maybe looks like he's not quite right. I think Billy is doing everything he can to not play Kobe too many minutes fresh off his injury, when I'm assuming Billy would have loved to play Kobe 40 or 42 minutes tonight instead of 36, because they clearly could have used it, because they just lost to the freaking Wizards.
I mean, I think, like, Billy would have preferred to not have even played Kobe 36 minutes. It's just like you look at the bench, like, again, I mean, he has Javon Carter, who's been very inconsistent all season. Dalen Terry, who's still trying to figure himself out. You know, any minutes he gives you, it's very much a question mark if it'll be good minutes or bad minutes, even though, you know, you see spots of good plays here and there, but he does make so many mistakes still. Batum is still a guy that, you know, he's a new to the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough for Billy to trust those guys to come in and say, yeah, we can spare Kobe from playing 36, 40 right. plus minutes.
I like, you know, Billy's options are just limited right now. I see plenty of people in the comments. Garcon saying Billy is fighting to stay off the hot seat. Not going to happen. Bulls are cooked. His options aren't great. Like you just mentioned, Batum, who played 4 minutes tonight. And we've seen him get some real bench minutes in this last couple of weeks since the Bulls promoted him to their 15-man squad. And Bulls fans are like, oh, he's a confident shooter with a good stroke. Throw him out there. This team needs shooting. He had a horrible turnover on a half-court set for the Bulls early in this game, and you never saw him again. So Billy clearly gave Batum the quick hook tonight. You mentioned Javon. Javon played 16 minutes off the bench tonight. Okay, 3 of 5 for the field, including 2 of 4 from downtown. That's what you want. That's what you expect from Javon. He was also a DNP in their previous two games because Billy just doesn't trust Javon Carter.
No. And you don't blame him, because, like, earlier in the season, we were all wondering why Javon isn't playing, but then you saw him play a little bit more. Like, you saw the defensive mismatches. And, I mean, granted, he's known as a good on point-of-attack defensive player, but he just gives up that size.
Mm-hmm.
The shooting just wasn't consistent. Like, that's the biggest reason they signed him for,
right.
that shooting. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard for me as much, you know, I don't mind the Billy criticism from when it makes sense.
But right. Yeah.
I just don't see where you criticize Billy for this terrible depth the front office has given him.
Yeah. I mean, the 3-point shooting, I think Garcon, it was who said, you know, like, Javon was having a nice night. Tonight's the night where you're actually playing real minutes, because he was hitting his shots. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Because, hey, if Javon's hitting every other three that he takes on a night when you're struggling to find other things work on offense, which is a joke, because, again, it's the Wizards. You know how you lose when your opponent shoots 14 of 49 from three, which is what the Wizards shot? When you, as a team, shoot 10 of 35. Both teams shot 28% from three. The Wizards just did it on a higher volume. Like, right. Maybe you have Javon out there for some more minutes because he can knock down a three. Maybe you have Batum out there for some more minutes because he can knock down a three. But I'm sorry, like, tonight is a night where you don't necessarily look at, like, who took what shots and what's like, you were down double digits to the Wizards before you scored a single point on your home floor. This isn't micro problems. This is a macro problem. Which is that your team, as it's currently assembled, is capable of getting embarrassed like that on your home floor by one of the worst teams in the league. That is the headline. That's it. We can, you know, pick out the little nooks and crannies of this English muffin from hell if you want to, but that's it. That's the headline. You just got embarrassed on your home floor to the worst team in the league. And they expect Bulls fans to be satisfied with this. They expect us to believe that this is quote-unquote competitive. As Rob just said, quote-unquote competitive. This is bullshit. This is not competitive. By the way, shout out to the Atlanta Hawks, who, as we saw on the side TV, staged an improbable comeback and pulled off a miraculous win. And coupled with this Bulls loss to the Wizards, the Bulls are now just 1.5 clear of Atlanta from slipping to 10th.
It's a real possible, and they got a game against Atlanta coming up April 1st.
Mm-hmm. So that game counts for two.
Yeah, it's at home. So, I mean, ideally, you'd think the Bulls could take care of business. But, again, it's the Bulls. It's the Bulls.
And in case it was a secret, what I am rooting for is the Bulls to slip from 9th to 10th. So they have to play their precious play-in tournament game on the road. So the certain people who have certain monetary priorities who run this team don't get the revenue from that home play-in game because they don't freaking deserve it. And on that note, let's take our first break, shall we? And then we can come back and dive more into this game or whatever else is on your mind as a Bulls fan on this very depressing Monday night. But it's not too depressing because our guy Salim is here. Guy Kev here is on the controls. And y'all out there in Bulls Nation are here keeping each other company, keeping each other sane. This is when it's needed the most, when you lose to the Wizards. I can't believe you just watched that happen. I mean, I can totally believe it. While we're sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube with us. We appreciate you. We appreciate the thumbs. They help us out a lot. Make sure you also subscribe to the CSGO Sports YouTube channel if you aren't already. Post game tonight brought to you by our friends at Ray Chevy. Offering the best deals of the year during the March Radness sales event. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. They make for the perfect tailgate vehicle, and they await you at Ray Chevy during Truck Month. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Chevy Silverados with over 100 Silverados available. Also, 125 vehicles under $20,000 at their dealership. Seriously, guys, can pricing get any more affordable? Can losses be any more embarrassing than that loss to the Wizards? Everyone loves the word free, right, Salim?
That's right.
How about a free oil change? Would you take a free oil change?
I would love it.
Love a free oil change. I can tell you how to get one. Just go to Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake. A free oil change is awaiting you. All you have to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. You can mention it when you go to the dealership. You can mention it when you schedule your oil change appointment online on their website. Start your new year off right and schedule that oil change by April 1st to get it for free when you mention CHGO. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
I am actually due for an oil change, so.
There you go. Do you have one of those little, like, stickers, you know, on your windshield with, that reminds you, like, hey,
get
your oil changed.
I'm bad at
slacker.
Paying attention to it.
Dude, me too. You always forget that sticker's there.
Yeah.
And then the light comes on. And you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
gotta change the oil.
Gotta go do this thing.
Or you can just go to RayChevrolet.com right now while you're thinking about it. Make yourself an appointment, and it's a free oil change. Just say, hey, I watch these Yahoos on CHGO, and they'll give you a free oil change. Talk about a great deal. Tonight's postgame also brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. Pardon me while I just take a quick sip of this one. Because I need it. I need it sometimes. Whether it's your team stressing you out, hello, hi, I'm a Bulls fan. They stress me out regularly, have been for a long time. Or just life in general. Things can feel chaotic in your day-to-day life. That's why Coors Light helps you find moments to chill all year long. And speaking of chill, not only these cool cups that Coors Light sent us, but their bottles, their cans, the ones that we got over in our work fridge. They tell you when they're as cold as the Rockies, Salim. Because the mountains turn blue.
Nice.
Is there a better invention of temperature awareness that you can think of than the Coors Light cans? Because I feel like it's the best temperature gauge invention ever.
Maybe only the thermometer, but
I feel like this thermometer is more widely used in ways that are perhaps more immediately pressing for, you know, hey, what's my temperature? But you know what? Cold as the Rockies, temp gauge?
Fair enough.
Very important in its own right. When the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Rockies. That's why when it's time to chill, it's the beer I reach for. Coors Light, you can get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart. That's right. Coors Light beer. Cold, crisp, refreshing, delicious. Delivered to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Are you a mountains guy? Like, do you ever like go out in the mountains? You skier or mountain hiker or any of that?
I've gone hiking. I'm not good on skis or on snowboard or of anything like that. I've taken
same
bad wipeout.
It seems just like a cold, expensive, uncomfortable, dangerous sport to me.
Yes.
Whether it's skiing or snowboarding. What about you, Kev? You do any of those winter sports?
Snowboarded for the first time this winter.
How did it go? Good for you for trying new things.
Or not snowboard, excuse me, skied. Yeah.
How'd it go? Time.
It was really hard. It was as hard as I expected. I wouldn't. And also really, really expensive. Like, I don't think I'd do it again, but like, I think it's a cool thing. People who do it and are flying around the mountain, it's awesome. I like the mountains. I just, skiing, yeah, I'll stick to snowmobiling and warm weather sports.
Yeah.
That's me.
I mean, I feel like it's much, much better. I would much rather participate in like a lake sport than a icy, snowy mountain sport.
Yeah, you were talking about summer like maybe an hour ago, a couple hours ago, and Cody was here talking about drinking a beer and a nice warm sunshine. I'll take that.
Yeah.
My
sport that I participate in competitively every year is drinking beer on my rooftop when it's warm outside.
Nothing better, man.
That is the sport for me.
Yeah, skiing's fun. I don't think I'd do it again, though, unless somebody wants to pay my fair wage.
You can still get the crisp deliciousness and this crisp vibe of the cold Rockies by just drinking a Coors Light on your Chicago, you know, porch.
Yeah, and that was the best part, the end. You just go right to the bar in the hotel and grab a couple Coors Lights. Irish coffee or two.
Yeah. Colin in the comments saying, I ski with the V going 4 miles an hour. What does the V mean? Do you know what that means?
It means like the pizza. You know, when you're going, you pizza French fry. You know, you're not supposed to pizza when you French fry. So when you French fry, you're going really fast because your skis are parallel.
Right.
When you pizza.
Oh, it like your skis are coming out behind you?
Yeah.
I see.
You can turn and it's way, way easier said than done. I tried to pizza a few times, fell on my face, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you for trying something new and hurting yourself in the process. I believe I heard a jingle, Kev. I think I know what that's time for.
Yeah, we'll
it's time to talk to a certain animal.
We will get our guy in here in just a moment here.
Meanwhile, Oscar saying, Matt, thank you for convincing me not to spend my money on this team. You're welcome. Bulls fan, how you want a Bulls fan? But, yeah.
All righty. Let's do it. Let's get Will in here.
Let's do it. That's where it's the goat! Joining us on that Goat Talk hotline, it's our guy, Will the Goat Gottlieb. Follow him for all of his Bulls reporting and updates, Will_Gottlieb. Read all of the stuff he writes for us, allchgo.com is where you can find that. Will, what can you say about losing to the Wizards at home?
I mean, I tweeted it, but like, this was the worst game of the season. Just, it was so bad. All due respect to those Pistons losses, both of them. one of the worst games I've seen all year. Just really sloppy, disorganized, disjointed. Didn't really feel like there was a lot of intention with the way that they were moving the ball and just on offense in general. And then, as I wrote after last game, their defense since March has been 28th in the league. So this team just kind of in a bit of a slide here. A lot of people are questioning whether it's like the minutes kind of piling up on some of these guys, but I think they are capable of playing better than this. It's just that, you know, and Billy said this a million times, I've said it, you know, the margin for error with this team is so thin that like you can't come back from a 15-point deficit at the start of a game. And they should have been able to do it against a Wizards team that was missing four starters who are 14 now and 58. That's a winnable game. And that was really just bad basketball. So sorry, Salim, that you had to sit in the co-pilot chair for this one.
It was rough. It was rough. Well, I do have a question for you. Just get your thoughts on something. So, you know, we're watching this game. We noticed Vooch wasn't as usually he does. Like, he wasn't really popping out to the three-point line. He only took one three tonight. He was struggling finishing inside. Do you think it would have been better to play Drummond if you're going to have your big roll to the rim all night on these PNRs that they're running, especially with Drummond was finishing better around the basket? Do you think it would have been a better idea to play Drummond more minutes than Vooch?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think in the first half it was pretty close. I think it was 13 minutes for Vooch and 11 for Drummond, if I recall, because Drummond was playing a lot better. I think in the second half, Drummond was just simply not playing quite as well, and Vooch picked it up a little bit. Billy after the game was talking about how, you know, they really did not do a good job of getting the ball to Vooch in his spots. And, you know, when you're trying to, like, race back into a game, you're not, especially with, like, younger players out there, guys who haven't played as many minutes, who are now filling up a big part of the rotation, they're a little bit more eager to just, like, put the ball on the floor and try to get to the rim, as opposed to, you know, looking to see if Vooch has a good seal down there where they can play out of him. So I think they kind of missed him a bit in the first half, and then they went to him a little bit more in the second half. But I do think there are times when just, like, the matchup kind of caters better to Vooch, and, like, the way Rashawn Holmes was just dominating with his athleticism and his rebounding, it did feel like that was a matchup where maybe Drummond could have done a bit of a better job. But at the same time, like, you know, it's risky to have him in there where just the offense is not quite as steady and you are trying to climb back into a game. So I think Billy kind of rode him a bit in the first half and then just kind of cooled off as he stopped playing quite as well in the second half.
Will, another night since his return from the hip injury where Kobe doesn't shoot particularly well, just 6 of 20, continuing the trend of his first two games back where he collectively shot just 33% from the field, and he was just 2 of 11 from downtown tonight. Curious if y'all got a chance to chat with Kobe after this game and your thoughts on the game. Salim and I were chatting about how it looks like maybe he's still, like, he's just playing through the fact that hip still doesn't feel 100% right, and you kind of can see it. Seems like occasionally he's wincing out there on the court or not moving the way that we've become accustomed to seeing Kobe move. What can you tell us about his game tonight?
Did not have a chance to talk with him after the game, and he would definitely not just openly admit that, you know, any sort of injury is holding him back. I think he just kind of owns the makes and misses. So I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like I said, you know, Kobe is still a streaky offensive player at times. He's gone through hot and cold spells this year, even when he was playing really well. And so I think that kind of thing's going to happen. Obviously missing a week of the season and coming back and, you know, maybe he's fully healthy, maybe not, but there was definitely some rust, and I think he's still trying to get back into that form. So he's got to shake out of it. I thought he played well in spurts, but just could not get a lot of those open threes to fall. And that was really kind of the story of the night. I mean, even with all the misses that they had, and there were a lot where they just weren't really shooting the ball very well. I mean, 10 of 35 for three on the night is not going to win you very many games. But it's, again, going back to this piece of, you know, they dug themselves into this hole. And even against a Wizards team that's missing half their guys, like, they're playing with energy, they're playing with pace and getting up and down and getting easy baskets, and the Bulls weren't defending. And so they're getting out in transition again. It's just really hard to climb your way back into that game. And I think the Wizards, to their credit, did a really good job of, like, you know, countering every run that the Bulls did make. So for Kobe, I think he's just going to continue to play through it and try to get himself back into form. But yeah, I don't think like the shooting on the whole is a big part of this loss. And I think that's obviously problematic, but what Billy said, and I agree, was that just this start and these like kind of mindless stretches where they're just giving up points. Like, they don't have the luxury of playing down to the level of their opponent. They can't afford to do that. Every game matters. Every game is super important here the rest of the way. And I think they, you know, they feel like they could have had this one. They feel like it kind of slipped away.
It's like their, like, communication on defense is completely non-existent. Like, you see a lot of backdoor cuts, a lot of guys just wide open at the arc, guys missing rotations. Like, has there been conversation about, like, what they're, like, what the issue is as far as their communication problems on defense?
Yeah, I think the communication has kind of been a thing all year. I mean, I remember in training camp, Torrey Craig, one of the first times we talked to him, was saying this is one of the most quiet teams that we've been on. And, you know, I think the communication has gotten better. obviously the last month or so, the defense has totally kind of fallen off the cliff, and that's obviously problematic. But I think they just rely so much on, you know, having good defensive players out there for big minutes. And so when you've got Caruso, when you've got Dosunmu, you know, guys that can execute and blow stuff up, I think you tend to rely on them a little bit too much. And we saw with the way that the Wizards play, they move off the ball a lot. They don't really stop rotating. They don't stop moving. It's kind of some similarities between what, you know, the like early teens Warriors would do in terms of moving off the ball. They've got Corey Kispert and Jordan Poole, guys that really can come off of screens and, you know, set back screens and split cuts and things like that, where it's just really tough to keep track of them. And all of a sudden they're hitting some shots and it's just kind of hard to claw your way back in. So it's a tough type of team to defend. And obviously they were making shots the Bulls weren't, and that kind of makes matters worse. But I think the defensive issues have just been kind of a problem that's been a little bit under the surface all year. We've kind of like seen them kind of win games in these clutch situations that they maybe shouldn't have otherwise, where they're just, you know, Billy said after the game, like they can't let luck be a factor. They can't let luck get into the game and expect to just win and bank on that. And so I think at times we've seen that, and then at times it just doesn't necessarily work out.
Will, plenty of Bulls fans in the comments tonight frustrated with that hole they dug themselves, as you mentioned. Curious if you know, I know you mentioned some of Billy's post-game thoughts about that hole and the lack of a margin for error. He did make a change from the first, you know, opening tip starting lineup to the second half starting lineup. He swapped Caruso in for Torrey Craig. He gave a quick hook to Batum, who only played 4 minutes tonight after getting more minutes earlier in this recent stretch of games. Javon Carter, after two DNP coaches' decisions, gets 16 minutes, knocks some shots down off the bench. What did you make of tonight's weird rotation and the fact that it changed? And do you accredit that at all to this sloppy start the Bulls got off to out of the gate?
I think it's a part of it. I think also, I mean, look, you're playing like six guys that you trust, right? It's DeRozan, it's Vooch, it's Kobe, it's Io, it's Caruso, it's Craig, and it's Drummond. That's seven guys. And so you're just trying to find bodies that you can rely on a consistent basis. And sometimes it's going to be matchup dependent, where you feel like you need a little bit more floor spacing. Sometimes it's going to be transition and defense dependent, and maybe you want to get Dalen in there. And sometimes you just need guys to get some shots up, and Javon did that tonight. So I think this is kind of the hand that Billy is dealing with, the hand that he's dealt in terms of the roster. And part of it is obviously the injuries. You've got Zach, you've got Lonzo, you've got Patrick, you've got Julian Phillips out for who knows how long. And he's just trying to look for answers. And the same answer that worked, you know, last night is not necessarily going to work again tonight, just because these guys are, you know, inconsistent back end bench players. And so that's kind of the reality of the situation. I think Billy's doing as best he can with what he has. But sometimes the other team is just going to have a better night or a better shooting or whatever it may be.
If you're the Bulls, Will, and if you're Billy Donovan, how do you tell yourselves to bounce back from this game playing the Pacers on Wednesday? Because this, as you pointed out, and I agree, are right up there for worst loss of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. They understand the situation that they're in. I think to a certain extent, they kind of feel, maybe they don't feel this, but I feel that they are kind of locked into nine. And so really what they're trying to do is just like play for their own record. And so maybe it gets to a point in the season where, you know, they are just completely locked in. They can't move up. They can't move down. And it's just about, you know, maintaining health and minutes and all that stuff. Maybe that comes into play, but I think these guys are going to continue to show up and do the best they can every night, because they do really want to compete. I mean, I know it's kind of been memed at this point, but like these guys are really trying to be competitive and to try to make some noise in the play-in and get into the playoffs. That's what they really want to do. And so I don't think they're kind of giving up off of this game. Obviously, you don't want to get too high, don't want to get too low, that whole cliche. But I think that's kind of the mentality you need to have when you lose a game like this to a team that, I mean, just have no excuses to not be beating.
Well, there's always the next one, right, Will? We appreciate you joining us. Bulls Nation, make sure you're following Will on Twitter, Will_Gottlieb. What's up?
One thing I do want to say, Will, your hair is looking extra coif today. It's an extra goat.
Oh.
Extra goat hair tonight.
Just sneaking in The coif compliment. That's a solid standing co-host right there. That's what that is.
You can't sit in the chair and not.
I mean, that's true. Big Dave loves to talk about the coif.
I do. He does. I had to represent.
I appreciate that. You did.
I had to do like even like a 0.0000.10% of what Big Dave brings.
It's all about the effort. It's the thought that counts. Read Will's stuff, allchco.com, where you can find his great Bulls writing for us. Will, appreciate you, buddy. Get home safe tonight, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
That's the goat, ladies and gentlemen. The perfectly coiffed. The hair was looking good.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know how he does
it. A little bit more blonde than normal.
Yeah, like a sandy blonde.
And look, it was just like nice and like looked like had a good bounce in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Will's hair just now was telling us that spring is coming.
I think so.
It looked springy.
Springy, yeah.
Speaking of which, do you hear this freaking rain falling down on the roof of our studios right now? That sounds like a downpour. Or it's just the basketball gods crying tears of mercy to us, tears of sympathy,
because
we are all Bulls fans.
The dirt we saw tonight, clean it off.
Stuck in this life. Oh, my goodness. Let's take our second ad break, shout out some sponsors, then we'll come back to wrap up with any further thoughts y'all out there in Bulls Nation have on tonight's loss, whatever else is on your mind. Let us know in the comments. We'll get to as many as we can. Thank you, Coors Light, for keeping me hydrated, keeping my throat nice and moist while we talk about these depressing Bulls. It is needed. Postgame brought to you by our friends at Circa Sportsbook, offering that tight money line split and using their low hold model. Kudos to anyone out there who won some cash on this Bulls game tonight, whatever you were betting on. Condolences to our friend Kev, who wanted more than anything for Vooch to knock down a three at some point in that fourth quarter for his parlay to hit. It did not.
I also had Bulls money line too, so you know it wouldn't have hit regardless. But yeah, Vooch, take more threes, man. Come on, 1-3, ridiculous.
Also, you don't think it's much of a risk to take Bulls money line when they're favored by 13.5, as we mentioned in pregame. But then again, only the Bulls.
Yeah,
only the Bulls are capable of losing at home to the Wizards,
a college all-star team.
I mean, I think betting the under on that 13, it's hard to see the Bulls just
running
take care of that.
It is. Line. But then there may have been that part of your mind who was like, no, but they did beat up on the Wizards just a week ago.
Yeah.
And that Wizards team had more players available than the version that they saw tonight. So all logic should have pointed to, yeah, Bulls take care of business.
Do you know what the money line was on that game?
What, the one a week ago?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure the Bulls were favored, but I can't remember by how much. Either way, you should check out that Circa Sportsbook app, and especially if you want to put some bets down on NBA futures, because those large market bets, the best place to get the best value on those types of bets is at Circa. Maybe you want to bet Kobe winning Most Improved Player of the Year. I think I saw somebody in the comments earlier saying he's kind of losing his grip on maybe Dark Horse winning that award with this, you know, the stretch of missed games and then this, you know, three-game stretch of getting cold from the field. I don't think it's over yet. I think Kobe, if he finishes strong, could still sneak in and steal that award from Maxey as the Sixers themselves continue to plummet. But whether it's Kobe or if you want to make a bet on DeMar winning Clutch Player of the Year or you want to make a bet on who's winning the finals, the best place to make those bets is at Circa. They give you the best value on those. They also have the best, undeniably unparalleled customer service in the sports betting business. Real people behind that Circa app and the Circa Sports Illinois app who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion, unlike those other sports bettors who use the dreaded chatbots on their apps. For shame, burn the chatbots, burn them all. All aspects of that Circa app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Been there, worked with their staff, incredible people, can vouch for them. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circusports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Be on the lookout also for their events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com. Kevin Wells, what time is it?
Game time.
Who? So ready for it.
Man, I had to
unmute. Thought I might catch you off guard.
You did.
Just rolling right in.
I had to unmute myself. I was busy typing out something. I got it, though.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
Good job. Well done. There's another one coming at the end of the ad, so Stay on your toes.
I'm on my toes, man.
Speaking of on your toes, baseball season starts in 3 days. People are ready for it. North side, south side. Nah. Baseball is here.
Nah, south side. Nah. I don't know. I'm not ready for it.
Some people are ready for it. And Game Time is ready for it. And now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Got that seal of approval from the MLB, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer you get to that first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. You can pick any specific game or matchup that you want to attend and figure out, hey, where are the great deals? Where in the ballpark can I find the best seats? Look at the seats and then say, yep, that's what I'm looking for. They have flash deals, zone deals. They can say, hey, you pick the section and then we'll pick the seat in that section and we will give you the best price available. Their lowest price guarantee. Also, on top of that, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. If something crazy happens and you say, ooh, I thought I was rolling in dough, wanted to get tickets to this game, got tickets to this game. Now I probably shouldn't. They got you covered on that too. Also, of course, the price guarantee, meaning if you ever find a cheaper price point on the same seat, the same exact seat, same ticket on a different ticketing app than Game Time, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference of those ticket prices. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. For a limited time, all users can get $20 off any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with code FIRSTPITCH. Terms apply. That's code FIRSTPITCH, FIRSTPITCH, for $20 off from March 25th, that's today, to April 14th. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee. Because only what time is it?
Game Time move.
That's right.
Nailed it. Nice.
Wait, so are you saying you're not going to go to the Sox home opener?
The better half wants to go, so I might end up going. So we'll see.
I mean, even for a fan who has little faith in their team for their upcoming season, as I feel like most Sox fans feel right now, right?
I mean, yeah, I think every
like pretty much projections are pretty bleak. Opening day is still special.
Yeah, I mean, I think tickets are still available. So
it's the Sox. It's free.
I'm looking at the app right
now.
Yeah,
what is Game Time?
You can get in to the stadium right now. $23 a ticket, cheapest on Game Time right now.
Opening day.
That's there are tickets all over the damn ballpark available on Game Time right now. Nobody wants to watch that team.
Yeah.
Cubs, I mean, but here's the thing. I got tickets for the first week of Cubs. I'm going to two games for less than $10 a ticket, both of them. Weekday games on Game Time.
This is why we use Game Time.
It really, I'm not even blowing smoke, man.
No, me neither.
It's an incredible ticket app. And
I've scored awesome deals on concert tickets on Game Time, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't just throw that in the ad read and it's mostly about sporting events. Like, no, you can get amazing concert ticket deals on Game Time, too.
I've used the app once before. Like when I wanted to go to a Bulls game, I checked on the day, and I think I got them for like someone was selling 100 level seats for like $30.
Yeah,
on the day of the game, so I'm like, I bought them. I was like, F it,
100 level for $30. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I got some. Basically, I got some good seats for a very low price. So.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, if Bulls fans want to talk about the final few possessions of that fourth quarter, because it was a close game, of course. Yeah, it was a clutch game. Garcon saying, I don't understand why Coby White made both of those free throws. SMH, that's indicative of the coach's lack of detail. So, okay, you want to blame Billy for the decision to make both of those free throws if you're Coby White, as opposed to the other route, the other strategy being make the first and then try to purposefully miss the second to then get the offensive rebound and give yourself that extra possession to try to make up for that three-point deficit that way, which is what the Bulls achieved successfully in one of their wild comeback wins recently. I can't remember which one was it. It was one of those ugly games. Portland? Was it the Portland win where they pulled off that move?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I mean, what do you think? From your vantage point, would you have rather seen Coby try to miss that second free throw in that situation?
I mean, it wouldn't have been the worst strategy, just because you had Vooch and Drummond in there, and maybe you could have been able to get that rebound. But I mean, there's a lot of like 7 seconds left on the clock at that point. You still had a timeout, right?
No, they were out of timeouts.
Oh, they were out of timeouts. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, in that scenario, I think that that's a good argument to, that they should have tried to do that, where you try to get the offensive rebound and see if you can, you know, at that point take the game.
And you know, it was close, and I think Kobe, you could see, was advocating for it. Like he wanted that foul to be called a shooting foul. Like right. he was going up into his shooting motion. The refs whistled it dead. Pointed, said, "Hey, no, that's a on the floor foul. It's not a shooting foul." Because I mean, that would have been a hilarious choke job by the Wizards if they actually just fouled Kobe while he was going up, and they put him at the line for three instead of two. So okay, yeah, you're splitting hairs. It's one strategy or the other. I still think there was a perfectly decent chance that the Wizards found a way to lose that game if the Bulls kept just doing like okay, free throws. Because Kobe knocks down both. You play the foul game.
Yeah.
It's the Wizards. And like you said, there were still multiple, like 7 seconds on the clock. It's I'm not splitting hairs on that. I'm not coming down hard on one decision over the other on missing that free throw intentionally or making it to cut it to one and try to, you know, keep drawing out the final strings. I think you're missing for the forest for the trees if you're talking about that. Why are the Bulls in that situation against that version of that Wizards team? That's the part that's inexcusable. It's not your strategy at the free throw line in the final seconds.
Yeah, I mean, think of how many times they had it within 4 points, two possession games, and all they needed was maybe one, two back-to-back stops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they probably win that game.
And I mean,
the whole fourth quarter,
how many times did we see them again tonight, just like they did against Boston? Boston worked them in second-chance points on Saturday. They were given the Wizards second chance opportunities left and right tonight. Can't corral the rebounds. Like you said, you know, like they brought, you know, Drummond in on the timeout on the, at somewhere late in the fourth quarter, and they had Vooch and Drummond out on the floor together and still could not corral a rebound.
Yeah. I mean, it just the low effort and a lot of plays and just bad bad vibes to start the game too. It just like, I don't know if the energy was a problem or they just weren't into playing tonight to start the game. Yeah, that was just a poor performance from like start to finish. Like even if they cut the lead down from double digits, I don't really care about, you know, saying that the effort was better late in the game. I think the effort was like questionable throughout the game.
Yeah. Godwin in the comments saying Jordan Poole had 3 fouls in the first quarter and no one tried to get him his fourth. I guess that's not on coaching. I think that could be on coaching. Yes, he did finish with just 4 fouls after legit getting 3 in the first 6 minutes of the game, which is hilarious. If you're thinking, hey, like that's get Jordan Poole into even more aggressive foul trouble because he had 3 in the first quarter, eliminate one of their primary scoring options. I see the logic. Also, Jordan Poole is a ridiculous 1-on-5 basketball clown. And I don't know if knocking him out of that game would have helped the Bulls or hurt the Bulls.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, too, Jordan Love is not really Jordan Love. I'm traumatized by the Packers, I guess.
Get that Bears-Packers Jordan, shit out of your brain.
Jordan
Poole is also
worse.
Not known as much of a defensive player, so it's not like he's going to be trying to pick up a foul either. He's more than comfortable letting – guys to score instead of trying to stop. I mean, like I said, yeah, maybe they can try to do more switches to see if they can switch him on to DeMar and things like that. But to your point, like you said, if you take him out, does the Wizards offense flow better?
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fair criticism. If you think it was in the Bulls' best interest to try and get Jordan Poole into even more foul trouble than he was after that first quarter, then, yeah, if that doesn't happen, then that's something that the coach isn't telling the players to do. You'd think the players are also savvy and aware enough of, like, hey, Jordan Poole has 3 fouls. If we want to attack him, let's attack him. They didn't. Like, everyone gets an F tonight. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Billy gets an F tonight. The players get an F tonight. AK gets an F- tonight. The Reinsdorfs get an F minus 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 a Z, whatever the worst grade is. This, I mean, is utter failure embarrassing failure from top to bottom when you get a result like this on your home floor.
No, 100%.
No other way to describe it.
It's not like, I know a lot of comment section, a lot of fans say like how is this not Billy's fault? Like, it's not all his fault. That's the thing. It's, yeah, he has flaws, and you questioning like the way they came out tonight, like you question like what, that's part of coaching to have your team ready to play. Like, what was that about?
Yeah. Right?
It's definitely a question, but like the things that happen throughout the game that you can't just blame Billy for it, for everything. Like, you can't blame Billy for G League players coming in and outplaying your starting center. That's not Billy's fault. You know, it's there's things that you can blame Billy for sure. But I feel like Bulls fans, that's their like default mechanism. Every good, bad things happen, it's all Billy.
Right, yeah.
Which again, like I said, yeah, he's gets blame, and it's equal blame to go around. Especially tonight, I would blame more to the players. I would blame Billy too, but like, in the end, this is a players' league. You should be able to beat this team without, you know, needing a lot of, you know, great coaching and needing genius adjustments to be made. So yeah, I mean, like I said, there's blame to go around, but it just, the only thing I think people, like myself and obviously Mark K especially, kick back on is just everything is his fault.
Yeah. And you know, again, I've never been a great believer in Billy Donovan as an elite level NBA head coach.
He's an average coach.
And I think he is an average coach doing an average job with an average team. This team is average. 34-38. Just lost to the Wizards.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Chris Davis in the comments saying, you get an F, you get an F. F's for everyone. Shout out to Gabriel, who said, only A is Bulls fans. That's right, Gabriel. Bulls fans always get an A because we're all here hanging out still, despite the fact that we all just watched that together. And that is pretty jarring. Pretty terrible. Also, Echo 57 in the comments saying they needed energy. Why no Javante? Fair question. I have a new main gripe with the game Billy Donovan just coached.
Yeah.
Why no Javante? Get Javante in there.
If anything, then he maybe would have brought some energy to the team.
Might have helped with some offensive rebounding. Line.
That's a fair question. I don't know what's going on with him being in the rotation or not. They signed him obviously to 10 day.
I'm assuming that he's healthy because they signed him to a 10 day. I don't know if they signed him to a 10 day. This is just wild conjecture. Because he needed himself a 10 day contract. We have not seen Javante actually get minutes anywhere else in the NBA this season.
No.
He's had a couple of short stops at other NBA teams, but he hasn't been playing.
No.
And we haven't seen him play since he went down with an injury as a member of this Bulls squad.
Yeah, and we're not in practice. I mean, maybe we could ask Will, like, what he's doing in practice.
Well, and, they talked to Javante at their practice 2 days ago.
Right.
Between their Thursday game and Saturday game, like, when they signed Javante. Javante was at practice, and Javante talked to the media, and everything sounded gravy. Like, happy to be back. Just want to help out the guys if I can. But happy actually, to see some of my old teammates, like,
certainly, the vibes are great, but like actually, when they're actually practicing, like if they're having, I don't know at this point in the season if they're having runs, because obviously it's this late in the season, so
probably not like full five on fives at this point.
They probably have more walkthroughs and things like that, watching film. So yeah, I mean, it's all like when, especially when you sign a guy on a 10-day, he's not someone that you're like super reliant on. It's like, if I need to win a game, I'm not depending on my 10-day contract.
Yeah.
And as much as we love Javonte, and we know we have memories of what he did before that injury, it's still a 10-day contract player.
It's true. I think the argument for it is that everybody out there tonight, I think, in a Bulls jersey looked flat.
Right.
Other than Caruso. Caruso's the exception. Caruso was out there like a pinball in a pinball machine. Those consecutive plays where, you know, Jordan Poole nudges him and then he comes down and body checks Jordan Poole on the other end. Like, Caruso was out there being Caruso and doing Caruso things. But beyond that, everyone else looked just flat tonight. Oh, maybe they came into it thinking, oh, this Wizards team that we just crushed a week ago and they got less of their players available now than they did a week ago. Yeah, we got this. And the Bulls foolishly went into this game like they were hot shit who could take care of this team without trying. And it looked like the Bulls weren't trying. You know what Javonte always does? Try.
Right.
Which is why I think it's fair to say, hey, I know he's a guy on a 10-day contract, but throw him out there and maybe light a fire under someone else's ass and not just his own.
No, for sure. I said, like I said, no clue what's going on with that. Like, I don't know, like, why he wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
Like, would love to know, have an explanation on what the reason is.
Also, it's just, you know, because it would be nice to give Bulls fans a little something to be happy about.
Yeah.
Just give us some five Javontes. Yeah. Just give us like a 5-minute stretch of Javonte being five Javontes. And it'll tide us over until the next time we have to watch this joke of a team disappoint us. AK, shout out with a $19.99 super chat. Appreciate you, AK. Saying the hate is flowing through me. Two losses to the Pistons. Loss of the Wizards tonight. Are we competitive yet? Hope the Bulls fall out of the play-in and get a high draft pick. Well, bless your heart, AK, not only for the super chat and for hanging out with us, but for hoping that the Bulls fall out of the play-in, because you and I are right there in the same boat. But I don't think that's happening because the Bulls are currently 7 games clear of the Brooklyn Nets, who are falling apart and going nowhere.
No. I mean,
They might fall from 9 to 10. The Hawks might leapfrog them after the Hawks got that improbable comeback win earlier tonight. Hawks sit at 32 and 39, Bulls at 34 and 38. They're not falling all the way to 11th. It's not happening. With what, 11 games to go after tonight? 10 games to go after tonight? Yeah.
I mean, they're locked for the play-in. That's 100%. I mean, Will said as much. They're locked for the play-in. So they're not going anywhere outside of that. It just basically, if they wanna fight for the rest of the season to keep the home court for the play-in, or do they want to be like, okay, well, you know what, we'll take our chances because we are tired and injured, so maybe we can try to rest up and, you know, still win that first play-in game by being healthy going into the I don't know, it's just, basically that's the only logic I could think of at this point.
It is. AK threw us one more super chat. Thanks, AK, saying, encouraged by Kobe's improvement this season, but the data over 3+ seasons show an inconsistent 3-point shooter. That is the definition of a role player. I mean, we touched on that in pregame, Salim, about how Kobe has been cold in these two and now 3 games back from the hip injury. And the fact that for all of the hot Kobe shooting we've seen that Bulls fans love, we have yet to see a season where Kobe shoots 40% from 3 for a full season. This is the closest he's been to it, and he still could pull it off this season if he does. But I don't necessarily think that being, oh, Kobe's a streaky shooter, means he is the definition of a role player. I think it means he's been a streaky shooter for the first part of his career. But to me, you can still take the Kobe as a streaky shooter thing and accept it at face value for what it is, while also acknowledging the other elements of his game that have undeniably been improved this season and even over the last season and a half. What he's doing on the defensive end, fighting over screens and through screens better, playing off-ball defense better, not getting lost as often, and then, of course, creating his own other shots in other parts of the floor and facilitating for his teammate. You can... absolutely say, hey, he's kind of still streaky behind that three-point line, and that's fine, that's fair. But you have to acknowledge everything else he's done to improve his game, the ball handling first and foremost.
Yeah. I think also I'll say shooting is streaky in general. Like, outside of the elite shooters, like, even the good shooters, like the guys that shoot, like, 38%, which, I mean, what Kobe does, they're streaky, too. That's just the nature of shooting. It's a streaky thing. And like I said, the only ones that aren't streaky really are the truly elite guys who consistently over 42, 43% shooting. And
yeah,
I mean, that's, like I said, so I know the streaky thing gets labeled on Kobe. I think he's a good shooter. He's just not elite at it. So that's why you see stretch of games where you see him this good, and then he'll have a few games that he'll just not hit. That's just the nature of shooting.
Luke in the comments saying, talk more about Vooch, because I'm seeing other centers actually command the ball where he gives like half-ass effort to get the ball. You want us to talk more about Vooch? Do you really? Because here's my two cents on Vooch. He was asked tonight.
Yeah.
He's been asked lots of games recently.
Yeah, I mean, Vooch is, what do you listen, want? Like...
He was asked.
I think a lot of us have said ad nauseum about how, I mean, I was one of the people who was furious about the 3 years, $60 million. I said it was a terrible decision to guarantee him at 3 years, $60 million.
It was them doubling down on a bad decision instead of admitting it was a bad decision.
100%. And he needed to win. Like, AK needed to win that negotiation with Vooch. Going in, like, who was going to give you that much money? Another team. So why did you give him, like, let's say even if you wanted to give him 3 years, 60, like, that third year should have been team option at the very least.
It's not how the Bulls do things.
But, yeah, that's just – it just.
Would you like a player option? Would you like a player? No, Everyone gets a player option.
Yeah, so, I mean, and like I said, you know, the whole – everyone – there was a lot – there was a big contingency of Bulls fans that kept yelling at anyone that was criticizing Vooch for anything. He's a top 10 player.
Yeah.
Or anyone that criticized the Vooch trade in hindsight about losing those two lottery picks.
Yeah.
Yelling at us about how he was a top 10 pick. So, I mean, I want to, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, backtracking on Vooch here. Yeah. But as far as, like,
I was a Vooch defender until I wasn't. Until he stopped giving me reasons to defend him.
No, for sure. And like I said, he's not a good starting center right now. And
yeah,
it's the reality of it. That's just the facts.
It is. AK threw us one more super chat, bless your heart, saying this Bulls team overall looks gassed, unlike heading into last season's play-in. I don't know if I agree, because maybe they look gassed right now where they're not. Oh, they went 14-9 after the Pat Bev arrival last season. AK was so proud of that. Not you in the comments, AK, the real AK. Last season's team that went to the play-in and this season's team that's on their way to the play-in, they're both mediocre shit. I don't see any distinguishing characteristics between the two. Mediocre shit, 1 year apart. Don't talk to me about gassed. It's the NBA.
Yeah.
You have it or you don't. Didn't last year, don't this year. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. Yay, play-in tournament.
Only two.
Yay, play-in tournament.
I almost no, there's three.
Third
before,
one.
Before we get out of here, Salim, do you want to take an honorary hat throw?
Sure, I'll take one.
Our guy Salim needs to throw a hat.
There it is.
Oh, weren't you talking earlier? Was it pregame where you talking about how you have a green socks hat?
Ooh, I do.
You got to throw that one, too. That's basically yours.
I got a long one out of that one.
That was a good one. That one had the distance.
That was a double. One for the Sox and one for the Bulls.
That was a heck of a toss.
That one's clearing the center at guaranteed rate. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Hanging out with us on an ugly Monday night, an ugly loss to the Wizards. But we shall persevere. One more reminder, follow our guy Will the Goat for all his Bulls reporting. Will_Gottlieb on Twitter. AllCHGO.com is where you can find his game recaps and all the other great writing he does for us at CHGO Bulls. Shout out and appreciation to our guy Kevin Wells, standing in for Joey on the controls tonight. Kev, pleasure as always.
Yes, a lot of fun. Shout out to our guy AK, another $20.
Too, shout out to AK.
You're the man, dude.
One Bad of the night. True, true diehard Bulls fans out there. Shout out also and thanks to TR who said, CHGO sucks, S-U-X. Yeah, TR, way to drop a bomb. Sucks. I'm cool because I spell sucks. S-U-X. Like, well, I make fun of people on the internet. Yeah, I'm TR.
Hey, TR, where's your Avi, bro? You had a giant T. Show your face.
That means he's ugly. And shout out to the opposite of ugly, the most handsome of Bulls fans, our friend Salim Sudarwala from the Bulls Gold Podcast. Salim underscore BG Hoops is where you can find him and follow him on that Twitter machine for all of his Bulls thoughts. Listen to the Bulls Gold Pod if you aren't already. Salim, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you sitting in tonight.
Hey, man.
Even if it's losing to the Wizards.
Loss to the Wizards, but win for hanging out with you. So it was a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Yeah.
Yes, indeedy. And we all shall try again on Wednesday when the Bulls take on the Indiana Pacers. Pregame 6:30. We have another fun guest co-host sitting in the Big Dave chair for y'all lined up on Wednesday night. Hint, he used to do a show with me and Big Dave back in the day. Don't want to miss it. For the GOAT, for Kev, for our guy Salim, everybody here at CHGO, Peck saying thanks so much for tuning in, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button on the way out. And we will talk to you on Wednesday, Bulls Pacers pregame 6:30. See you, Rebby. Good.
We all silly like the mayor.